following is a production of Shark Flight Media.
Now entering the nexus of geekery and guy world in 3, 2, 1, mark.
Do you know what the secret of life is? One thing. Just one thing.
You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is the Dudes in Hyperspace Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Dudes in Hyperspace Podcast. I am your host, Ian J. Malone, joined as always by my good friends, Rob Howell, Kevin Steverson. We'll get to those two clowns here in just a moment. But before we do that, you know what time it is? It's time to thank our presenting sponsors, the good folks over at Chris Kennedy Publishing. They are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy, folks, and they are large and in charge. This week is no exception. We've got new releases in military sci-fi. We've got new releases in high fantasy with Eldros. All of that and more news from CKP coming in our halftime segment. If you just can't stand yourself and you need to know right now, well, fine. Have it that way. Go to ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. There you can find out about their books, their series, their authors. Even make sure you sign up for their mailing list. If you have not already, and if you haven't, what's wrong with you? Get yourself a free ebook, man. That's what happens. And you get to stay in touch with what's happening around CKP every week with Chris's Monday emails. So again, that's ChrisKennedyPublishing.com. Chris Kennedy Publishing, they are message-free sci-fi with a slice of fantasy. Before we get to our guest tonight, and before we do that, actually, I just want to tell you guys, I'm super excited about this. We talk a lot on this show about authors. We talk about cons. We talk about reading and books and all that kind of stuff. But we also talk about craft stuff and marketing stuff for authors. And we're going to touch on a lot of that within the context of public libraries tonight. So really, really, really been excited and waiting for this one. Before we get to our guests, though, Rob and Kevin. Rob, I'll start with you, man. How was your weekend?
Weekend was pretty good. Cowboys lost, but I think it'll be different when if Cowboys have Dak Prescott under center in December. So we'll just go with that and leave it there.
I hear you. Kev, how about you, man? You doing all right over in Georgia?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, of course, the Bulldogs won, and the Falcons won. They're 500 ball right now, which I'm surprised.
Right.
But the Braves are out, you know?
Yep.
And I thought that was crazy. The Braves got knocked out. Oh, my God, what's going on? Until the Dodgers got knocked out, and they had 30 more wins than the team that knocked them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't feel so bad.
I got a buddy who's a Padres fan. He's over the moon ecstatic right now.
He should be.
He absolutely should be.
So it's baseball. The difference between the better team and the lesser team is really tiny when you really look at it.
Yep. Yes, it is. Well, all is well down in Florida. Got a big weekend ahead of us. Bay County Writers Fest is happening in Panama City this weekend. We're going to get to that here shortly with our guest. And then also I got some pretty significant book news that I've been waiting a long time to drop on this show, and that'll be happening during our Air It Out segment. Boom. That's quite possibly the greatest tease I've ever given on this program. I just want to go ahead and note that. Without further ado, though, let's get into our guest, man. As mentioned at the top, we've been talking a lot lately about books, about author marketing, and particularly about libraries. And so I'm very fortunate living down here in Panama City and that we've got a fantastic library with a fantastic slate of programs happening all the time. So I figured why not just go straight to the source and bring in the person who's responsible for a lot of that. I'd like to welcome to the program Ms. Sarah Burris. She is the program specialist and outreach specialist for the Bay County Public Library. She is host of the Unstacked podcast, which is a great show if you haven't checked that out. Speaking with authors from all different genres, not just sci-fi, but just a spinner of many tales and many talents. So, Sarah, welcome to the Dudes in Hyperspace. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Oh, pleasure's all ours, man. So let's start from the top and let's talk about you. How does an avid book reader kind of get her start? At what point did you know, all right, this is my career. This is what I want to do. As mentioned a second ago, you do a lot of stuff for the library. So before we get to that, how did you get started down that road?
Well, I had an unconventional route. So I was a reader growing up. My parents are readers. My sister's a reader. And then, of course, with academics, you kind of fall behind and you're like reading for studies. So from high school, I would say until late 20s, I didn't read for fun for a long time. So I first got my master's in art, which is very different. And I was a display artist for a really long, like a couple of years. And that was not something I could do long term. Being on a ladder and using power tools was way too much. And I'm very tiny. So that wasn't a long term approach. So I decided to, a lot of art history majors were doing double majors and also getting their library science degree. So that's what I ended up doing, because I thought I was going to go the art museum route. And I came back home after I got my MLIS and fell in love with working in a public library. I love working with the public and the community and the people. And I think you get to do way more fun things in a public library than in a museum setting.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And that is especially true over at BCPL. For those who have not had a chance to check them out, website is right there in your show links or your show notes, along with links to their Facebook pages and all kinds of other stuff. You know, it's hard to talk about Bay County Public Library and not talk about kind of the greater context of libraries in 2022. I think, you know, libraries have really kind of undergone a similar metamorphosis as bookstores and indie bookstores. You know, I mean, 20 years ago, it was very easy to say, here's a giant room full of books, come read them. Now, libraries have to be a lot more nimble. You're almost entertainment spaces in a way. And I love that about you guys, because you offer that to readers, whether it's author events like we're going to have this weekend, and we'll chat about that here in a little bit later, whether it's, you know, podcasting workshops like I was a part of with you guys a couple of weeks ago, whether it's just basic book clubs and author readings. It seems like every time I follow you guys online, there's always something happening over at your library. So, you know, just as someone who has to spearhead a lot of that, talk to me about, you know, the different challenges and the things that you face in your job trying to come up with these types of things, because that's obviously what you have to do now in order to justify your existence, frankly. So talk to me about your job.
Yeah. So libraries have kind of become community spaces, and this is nationwide. We want to provide classes. We're not just libraries for books. You can check out, it's a library of things. So you can check out musical instruments. You can check out telescopes. You can check out cake pans at our library. And all libraries are going to have a different collection. Some have power tools. Some have fishing pools that you can check out. So it's just check out what your local library is doing, because a lot of times it's passion projects of what your library staff is into. And they're like, oh, I would like this to happen, and they make it happen. So pay attention. There's some really, everyone's really super creative and has a lot of fun. We apply for a lot of grants. And so that is also ties into the passion projects. So for example, we just created a digital media lab in our library, and that's my passion project because of the podcasting station. So it's soundproof, it's got the right equipment, and it's good to go.
Yeah, the podcasting studio is sweet. Had a chance to check that out when I was over there for the podcasters workshop. For anybody listening to this or watching this on YouTube that lives in the Bay County area, if you've ever thought about getting into the podcasting space and doing a show, go rent the studio. I mean, they've got a Rodecaster Pro. They've got quality mics. Like she said, it's fully soundproofed. It's a great studio. It's the kind of stuff I used to record in when I worked in the radio industry. And just as people living in the area, we have access to that now through the public library. It's kind of off the cuff question, but where do you come up with a lot of these ideas for the programs and things that you do? I know obviously you guys are a part of a network of libraries here in the North Florida area. Talk to me about where you come up with this stuff, man, because again, you always seem to have something going on.
Well, we're also following what other libraries are doing too. And it's really cool how you can see how there's like social trends, and then some really creative librarian has created a program for that. And you kind of are like, oh, that would be fun. Let me do that as well. So that's part of it. And then the other part really is those passion projects. So like we have one librarian is a NASA solar system ambassador. So we partnered with NASA this year with the Webb Telescope programming. So it just kind of ranges and what we're able to provide. And it really is the all the skill sets that come with our diverse staff.
Cool. So talk to me about your show real quick, man. Unstacked Podcast. Where did that come from and how did that get its start?
Well, Unstack started during the pandemic. It was that trying to find programming that could reach people at home. And so Stephen, who is my co-host, really wanted to do a podcast. And I was a little unsure because I had never done a podcast before and not sure how my voice would carry. But it is addictive and I love it. So we started where we just would talk about literary news that was happening, you know, all over, and then go into genres and then kind of explore what we're reading slash watching so that we can kind of give some title suggestions to patrons. And then it evolved into interviewing authors. And so primarily that's what we do now. So we interview authors and release that to their new releases into the world, kind of fun questions. And we interviewed Ian as well.
We did. Yeah. I'll honestly, that reminds me, I need to go find a link to that and drop that in the show notes as well. Sarah and her podcast partner had Chris Kennedy and I on. So it was a big lead up to the big Lasers and Loggers event we did over in St. Andrews last summer. And we were right in the thick of closing down the Guild Wars in the Four Horsemen universe. And so Chris and I collaborated on a couple of books and got to come on and talk about all of that. In addition to just our start and kind of how he and I got to be friends and then partnered up as collaborators and publisher author relationships and all that kind of stuff. So great, great show. And Sarah and her crew did a great job with that. Let's kind of get back to Bay County Public Library. You know, we talk a lot on this show about authors. We have a lot of listeners on our show who are authors. And one of the subjects that comes up when we all get together and hang out is author marketing. Mm-hmm. And it's like the never ending quest to try and find, okay, how do we meet new readers? You know, we do social media, we do newsletters, we travel to conventions. All right. We're a part of things like Fantasy and Liberty Con, and, you know, things of that nature. Particularly when you get into the travel stuff, there's a lot of money. It can be very costly, particularly at times like now with gas prices being what they are, airfare being through the freaking roof, if you're even lucky enough to catch a flight on time. Like traveling for cons now is a big deal. So, you know, one of the things that I kind of set out to do in 2022 was I wanted to try and start delving more into grassroots marketing, getting to know readers and meeting readers and fans in my backyard here in Panama City. And it seems to me that is an approach that authors can take with libraries everywhere. Because, you know, as we've touched upon here now, you guys have a lot of stuff going on. You're having a lot of events. You know, you're looking for ways to get people through the door, and we're looking for readers. So, you know, talk to me about the ways that authors can plug in with their local libraries, you know, not only to find new readers, but just to build relationships there in their neighborhood for something that really won't cost them anything more than their time.
Yeah, no, it's a great place to start. We do have a lot of folks that are authors that hop on into the library to share that they've done a new book. One way to get into the library is if you've published a book and you're wanting to add it to the collection, sometimes libraries don't always have the funds available. So if you donate a title, that could be a huge help in getting you into the collection. And the Bay County Public Library also has a local author collection as well that doesn't circulate, but people can still borrow. And this is because there's different levels of authors, correct? You have your brand new authors. This is their first title. Maybe they need a little more work. They're not ready for the circulating collection just yet. You guys are all set. Like, you're published. You got to work with a publisher. You'd be an easy in. But someone who's just starting, they would probably fit into the local author collection. Some do get added and are able to circulate. That local tie is always something that we're looking for. We're looking for if there's been good reviews, or we're looking for a nice cover. I think cover does sell a book. So if there's an author out there that I would suggest, you know, focusing on getting a good cover design. One of the cool things with this author Bay County Writers Fest is we've gotten two books where the cover's been illustrated by local artists. And so not only are you having that creative aspect from a local author, but then it's also pulling in that local artist's talent as well. And I know it's the author's work, but I just have been really fascinated by that tie.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, and guys, I'd be remiss also if I didn't point out that, you know, they're going to promote you on social media as well. All right. So whether it's the podcasting workshop that I did with Sarah and the crew, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or whether it's Bay County Writers Fest this weekend, they're promoting us online. All right. So they're putting the covers of our books and our author pictures out on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram to let people know that we're going to be at these events. They're pubbing us as much as we're pubbing them. So, you know, authors who are listening to this show or watching it on YouTube, again, man, reach out to your local libraries because they're ready to partner with you and everybody can help each other. So, you know, let's talk a little bit more about Bay County Writers Fest. How did this come about? Because you've got 30 authors on the docket for this. This is not a small potatoes event. It's a pretty big undertaking. So how did this come to be?
Well, that's a great point with the authors coming to the library staff. So there was a local author, Jim Dodge, and he remembered a program that the Library Foundation had done a while ago. It was Books Alive, and it's been a long time since we've done it, like 2015. So that was the last like big local author event. And then we had bigger authors as well, but he missed that. And he's like, let's make something happen. So I was like, all right, let's make something happen. So partner with making a program happen with your local library. Say, I can get you some authors and we'll get that core group. And once we got the core group going, we just kept adding more authors because there's not a lot of events like this. And yeah. So it's a great time to be able to promote all skill sets. And it's a feat in itself to have something published, either self-publishing or through a publisher.
Sure. Well, I'm really excited about it. For those who are watching this or listening to this, who are going to be around the North Florida Bay County area, again, there's going to be about 30 of us, everything from children's authors to people who write nonfiction, professional leadership stuff, sci-fi and fantasy. There's a couple of us weirdos in there as well. So come by, you know, get a book signed, chat with us. We're happy to talk writing and stories with you and so on and so forth. So let me ask you this, Sarah, how much, and this, I did not have this on the questions.
Oh, you're good. Go for it.
How much of your job really changed after Hurricane Michael? Obviously Panama City really went through a rough time there. Everybody had to find their way in a very new reality. After that. So talk to me about how the library had to roll with that very monumental punch.
Well, we had like FEMA in here for a long time. So our programming room wasn't even functional for months. And so it is the place where people come and they fill out those forms that they need for, you know, government assistance after a storm like that. So I'm right. Sure Hurricane Ian is doing the same thing for all the libraries that are still functional. It's a space of refuge. It's a place where you have free computer access and you're able to, we opened it up to where printing was free, faxing was free, just because it was such a need. Now we have it for pay for again, but we just, whatever could help our community the best, we made it happen. And we still have not quite had our numbers in attendance, because we had Hurricane Michael and then we had COVID. And so I feel like we're still kind of figuring ourselves out.
Right. Well, as someone living here, we are certainly grateful for all of the stuff that you guys are doing over there. Again, I follow you on social media and there's never any shortage of things to do. And it's as a reader, as a fan, but also as a local author, it's a blast to have a partner like you guys right here in my own backyard. So, Rob, I'm going to throw to you for a second, man. That's about the end of my questions for Sarah. Is there anything I missed that maybe I should have thrown her away?
No, I don't know. I don't think you missed anything. I just want to say, though, I had a great time at Lasers and Loggers. And, you know, it was really neat to be a part of that. You guys, it was just a fantastic little event. So I hope I can do something like that with you guys again. I had a great time down in Panama City.
Anytime you can do books and beer, like at the same thing, in the same event with the same theme. That's a good
thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd hope to do again. I wasn't able to attend that one. Something had come up. So whenever we're ready, like, let us know. I'm in. I'm game.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about something like that. Maybe this weekend, hanging out at Little Village.
Yes.
For those who do plan on attending Bay County Writers Fest, we're going to be hanging out at Little Village after the fact. Best freaking fish tacos in town, man. And they got some good craft beer there too. Kev, how about you, man? Any questions you want to throw Sarah's way before we let her get out of here?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just unique around here in Georgia. The Pines Library System, which is, you know, all across the state of Georgia is where I go to. And And I'm fortunate enough to have my books, you know, across the state in several libraries. And that's because I reached out to the local librarian. And then I was invited to their convention that they have once a year that all the librarians went to. And I was one of 10 authors that went to that. And then it went from there. Some of the bigger libraries bought books from me there at that convention. And then the smaller libraries, I was like, here you go, here you go, here you go. But the question I have is, I can go to my local library and I can sign out a state park pass and go to the state park. And I don't know if you guys do that, but that might be an idea.
We had a summer program in Florida for the state park passes, which was really, really cool. And some libraries, if you're like next to a museum, they have museum passes. And it's really in building that connection. Does the library have the budget to be able to, you know, pay for that initial thing? A lot of times it's going to be grant funded. Right. The one over the summer was grant funded through the state, and that was awesome. And then, or building a connection with an organization that is willing to be like, all right, you've got a free pass that your patrons can check out. So it's really cool. I would love it year round.
Yeah. I don't know if the state donated to them or if they just bought the annual pass, like they were an individual. And then that's what they just, you know, that's what people are checking out. So
it's a great idea. Yes.
So your response there gave me a question that I hadn't thought of previously. You mentioned work pairing with organizations. Are there some organizations that you want to pair with or that you haven't yet paired with that you hope to pair with someday? Give me an idea of some of the organizations sort of thinking outside of the box here, because I'd never thought of some of this work that libraries can be doing with other organizations.
Yeah. Sometimes it's with like summer programming, like it would be like, say our theme is oceans and then we want to maybe partner with the local aquarium and make that happen. So it's all whether everyone's on board and making something like that happen. And it's a lot of just throwing the question. I just ask and see if I get rejected. And I think authors need to do that too. Just be like, right. Hey, this is an idea. You can totally say no, but a lot of times that turns into a yes. And so I just keep asking.
Throw against the wall and see what sticks.
Persistence, yeah. Man, it is a lost art in 2022, dude. That is faux show. That is some wisdom right there. All right. Well, listen, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. I will see you dark and early on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We have a news segment coming up on the local morning news Thursday morning that several of the authors involved with the event are going to be there for. So you'll see us on the old television. And then looking forward to seeing Sarah and tons of other folks at the actual event from 1 to 4 Saturday afternoon, Bay County Public Library. For folks who want some children's reading, there's going to be some stuff happening prior to that in the morning. So again, just go to the Bay County Public Library website, show notes, Facebook page, show notes. They'll give you all the information that you need. So, but Sarah, thanks for coming on the Dudes in Hyperspace. It was a treat chatting with you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
You too. See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks very much. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. That's going to bring us down to our halftime segment where we kind of get down to the latest and greatest of what's happening with our presenting sponsor, that being the fine folks over at Chris Kennedy Publishing. As always, we got new releases every week, a couple of them this week, in fact. One comes in the form of a brand new book from the Elder's Legacy. So, Rob, talk to me. What's that all about?
Well, we have A Murder of Wolves by Jamie Ibsen. Kaderan Karina Kalatok, shaman of the Doompelt Walker clan, is many things. Spiritual advisor, blessed of the goddess Karimaro in life magic, warden of the Sukarimar Savannah. An assassin he is not. When the Sukarimar chieftains summon him to their capital, Kaderan is assigned a task for which he is woefully unprepared. Kaderan's mentor, Karaklan, has been captured or killed. Worse, they have reason to believe soldiers from Karan Vi and Pelennon are responsible. Grand Chief Grollo assembles a pack of Karimaw, similarly blessed, to infiltrate Karan Vi and find Karaklan, or proof of his demise, placing Kaderan in charge. Kaderan is no soldier, no leader, and the pack he's been assigned has its issues. Kaderan forged this band of Karimaw into a cohesive unit. Can he find his mentor and return him home safely? Or are they destined to die alone in a foreign land, unknown and forgotten? What happens next will shape the future of Daemonon for generations to come.
Boom. Again, that is A Murder of Wolves from Jamie Ibsen, brand new book from The Elder's Legacy. Check your show notes for a link straight to the books. You can check that one out. Also new out this week from CKP is a new military sci-fi title, Gates of Hell, from William Frisbee Jr. That is, what is this, book three now of the Last Marine series. So big seller right now over at CKP. For folks who are into the MilSF space, this is definitely one you want to check out. Again, that is Gates of Hell, the book three in the Last Marine series from William S. Frisbee Jr. And link to that is also in your show notes. Other stuff happening around CKP this week. We got some cheap books. How about an anthology for less than a buck? We've got You Pay, We Slay. Still one of my favorite anthology titles ever. That is, of course, from the Hit World universe. And this anthology is edited by universe creators William Allen Webb and Larry Hoy. That is limited time only, though, folks. So make sure you get on over to Amazon, grab that for less than a buck. Again, that is You Pay, We Slay, Hit World anthology from the William Allen Webb and Larry Hoy Hit World universe. Finally, launch team readers are needed for The Impossible Moon. That is the latest book in the This Fine Crew series from Mike Jack Stumbos. So Stumbos, the man with the golden pipes, as it turned out, as I found out at Fantasy this year, my man can rock it at karaoke night. He's also one heck of a writer, apparently, too. So check it out. This Fine Crew series from Mike Jack Stumbos. Again, the next book in that one, The Impossible Moon, does need launch team readers. So if you're interested in being on the team for that, go to ChrisKennedyPublishing.com and send them a message. Let them know you want to jump on board for that. So that's going to take us to our Air It Out segment, where we just kind of air it out with news, things that are happening in book projects, event schedules, or heck, we sometimes have been known to talk a little college football from time to time. So, Kevin, I'll start with you, man. What's happening in the land of Steverson?
Bulldogs still doing their thing. I think we still got a chance to be national champions this year.
Yeah.
Because Alabama's not doing their thing. So that's always good. We'll see what happens. I like the fact that the Gators were saying, you know, LSU wasn't no good, and that's why that happened. We'll come to find out. The Gators got beat like they stole something, which is good too. So, yeah, just a lot of sports going on this week. At the end of the month, I will be special guest author at HoloCon up in Dalton, Georgia. Okay. And I got the email just the other day. I was kind of excited about this. I will be a spotlight author at Imaginarium in July, which is in Cincinnati.
Nice. Cool.
So, I mean, it's a ways off, but I mean, that's kind of cool. So.
Ooh, cool. In Cincinnati, you said?
Yeah, in Cincinnati. So
awesome, man. Dude, you got to eat some Skyline chili for me while you're up there. I love that stuff, man.
Yeah. Oh, and if you get the chance, it's difficult because it takes so long. Jungle Jim's is literally the world's best grocery store if you get a chance to go to it. Yes. It is amazing. I've spent 3 hours there. Jamie Ibsen, who wrote A Murder of Wolves, on our way to FactoryCon last year, he got overwhelmed. There was so much choice at that place. Yes. And it's all weird, fun, new stuff. It's incredible.
They've got sections for foreign countries, big as grocery stores. Inside.
Do you like, German food, Kevin?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I spent 3 years in Germany. Oh my God. Yeah, I spent 3 years in Germany.
Oh, well, there you go. Were you ever around Munich?
Yeah. I was in Augsburg, which isn't far from Munich at all.
So did you go to the Hofbräuhaus?
I don't remember the names because I was younger.
Hofbräuhaus is a centuries old brewery in Munich that is like, if you're anywhere near that area, particularly if you care about beer, you got to go. Like it's been around forever. Built a replica of the Hofbräuhaus and I think, was that Covington? Is that what it's called? Right across the bridge from Cincinnati, right across the Kentucky line. And I was up in Cincinnati for a wedding a number of years ago. Buddy of mine that I went backpacking with through Europe and I, we had done the Hofbräuhaus when we got to Germany. We found out, oh, hey, there's a replica across the bridge. Well, this will be cute. You know, this will be a nice, quaint little tourist trap that'll probably be laughable because, we've been to the real thing. We're cultured and such. Dude, they nailed it. The food is spot on. The beer was spot on. The bricks, the gravel, like everything that they use to build this place, it looks like it's been there for 600 years. So I know it sounds crazy, like I'm sending you to a tourist trap, but dude, if you like good freaking quality German food, you got to go to the Hofbräuhaus if you're going to be in Cincinnati, man.
Schnitzel's probably out of this world. Speaking of that, we got the FactoryCon coming up this week. Yeah. It's unfortunate you two won't be there. I will eat your share of the schnitzel because we now have a new author with CKP is going to be there. Nicole is going to be there and she's cooking it and she is German, you know,
oh.
Her husband retired as a first sergeant, but oh yeah, that's going to be at the potluck.
Nice.
Cool. But I will eat y'all's share. So cool.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you falling on that grenade for me. That you were so kind. So kind.
It is my hope that year three will be the magic year for me in Factory Con. Kevin Eikenberry and I were having a conversation about that for recording a CKP Confidential earlier on this week or last week. And I hate the fact that I have missed that the first 2 years that it's been in existence, but I'm hopeful that next year will finally be it. And I can make that happen because Factory Con just sounds like it's a total blast.
It is. It's a good hangout. It's a good hang. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob, I'd like to go. I would have loved to have gone this year. Just didn't have the time for it. I will say this. If you can go and just set out some time to write, I don't know, looking out on the sound and feeling the breeze and mm-hmm. that's, you can get some great words thrown on the page just in that kind of environment. At least I can.
And dude, this is the time to be on the coast in North Carolina. I mean, temps are beautiful at night. Like you're sitting out around a campfire, maybe a flannel shirt, light jacket, yeah. something like that. Cause it's just a little on the brisk side.
Yeah. Love it's going to be low sixties every night. I've already looked Thursday. Hey, I'll be off the coast. Cause we're going deep sea fishing, three boats full. We've yep. got
wow three this time
wow three boats yeah wow. so
yep Rob, what's going on with you, man?
Well, as mentioned, I'm not going to Factory Con. I am taking some time to work on my first three books, my Edward novels. I'm actually writing a fourth Edward novel, and I am so much better of a writer now than I was. Yep. When I wrote A Lake Most Deep and The Eyes of a Doll, especially. And I really want to get in and break down that story and tighten them up and add the things or, you know, add the strength that I've got in my writing. Cause I love the story, but I didn't execute it as well. And yeah. So today I ventured into the first 50 pages on it. And I was like, everything that I assumed about my writing being better now is true.
Yeah.
And everything that I had assumed about the story being good, I'm falling in love with these characters again. And just the simple fact of editing has given me so many cool things I need to put into the new book. And the synergy of getting wallowing essentially into this storyline and these characters, it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm seeing old friends again and really, really enjoying it.
So as an editor, Rob, in fantasy, which you do a great job at.
Thank you.
What you're saying is this is something you'd have sent right back right now with a bunch of red on it.
Oh, my God. Yes. Not great. Only. Understand that this has been edited before. Like this is the third or fourth time I've edited right. this seriously over the years right. because I like to get better. Right. Actually, the third time for sure for the full edit. The second edit was a huge chunk of cutting.
Right.
And now I'm looking and going, how did I miss these? I'm 50 pages in, and I'm sure I've cut 2,000 words.
Right. He's writing in it right now. What were you thinking here? It's yourself there, buddy.
Oh, my. Yeah, absolutely am. I love those characters, and I really love the story. The mystery is good. The clues are good. The layout is good. I did all that right. But the execution, the skill at putting them together, it's like building a wooden box.
Yeah.
You can create a usable wooden box without too much skill. But to make something that's pretty and where the edges join right and where, you know, the wood is all in perfect shape and it's smooth around everything, that takes practice and skill. And that's what I'm doing with this. And boy, it's fun. It really is. Cause sometimes editing is a hassle. You edit a new stuff and you're like, I'm going to fight through this. But this time it's with stuff that it's like the comfort. It's like Linus's blanket.
Yep.
I'm going back to these characters and really enjoying them. So A Lake Most Deep, I'm going to re-release in early 2023 with, along with the other two books in that series that I've already written, plus the fourth book that I'm putting out. all sort of in a sequence, and refresh the coverage a bit. And I'm really pleased about what these are going to be. And, you know, I've always felt a little nervous about A Lake Most Deep, because you say, I know I like the story. It's a good story. But the technical stuff that I'm so much better at now, you look at it and go, that's my worst novel ever. And it should be. It's my first novel. But it's my worst novel ever. And yet here's the one I want you to start with, because it has so much starting potential to it. Mm-hmm. And now I won't have any kind of qualms about it. When I'm done with this, I think I'll be able to say, not only is this my first novel, it's a good one. It's good in technique. It's good in story. It's good in characters. I can be more proud of it than I ever was. So I'm really excited about that.
Cool. Yeah, I did that with Mako first time around. First edition of that dropped almost 10 years ago now, so 2013. And I wrote it, and it did well. And then I wrote the next two. And by the time I got to the third book in the trilogy, I felt like, okay, I think I've learned a little bit about this writing thing, you know, this whole craft thing. I think I've started to kind of find my way in this. And I went back and when I republished Mako with CKP, I went back and reread that first book, and it was just like, break out the hatchet. It's time for some cutting. And exactly, you know, exactly what Rob was talking about. You go back and you reread that, and it's like, God, how did I do that? This is horrible. I got to change that. I got to do this. And the story is still very much the same story. It's just better. I cut a lot of unneeded, unnecessary detail, and it flows a lot better. And the book is not, it didn't lose anything from the cuts that I made. It's just a much tighter, faster read that just does its job better, because I was better as a writer when I went through it on that second pass. And very much like Rob, that's why now I have no problem saying, here, grab a copy of Mako and read it, because I feel like it's just as on point as the other stuff that I did. And then, you know, when I finally went back to that world a number of years ago and wrote Detron City Vice, you know, I've often told people, listen, this is quite possibly the best Mako book, because it involves all these characters that I love and that I, you know, that I've known for years and years and years, but I'm just a lot better at my craft now. And I felt like I was able to really kind of reset that world and clean the slate to really put it on a solid foundation moving forward, because frankly, I was just a better writer at that point. So,
and there's this too. I'm still fairly new in my editorial growth, like into my editorial process. Long way to go, but I've edited almost 2 million words at this point in time, maybe more if you count some of the stuff that didn't make the cutting room, that's lying on the cutting room floor. That's not inconsequential here, and my edits for this are so much more detailed than some of my previous editing process, and I'm excited about that too.
Absolutely. Well, all is well in Malone land. As noted, I'll be at Bay County Writers Fest this weekend. So you guys come out and see me that Saturday, happening from 1 to 4 at Bay County Public Library here in Panama City. That's on 11th. So all by all means, come on out and hang out with us, get some books, get them signed, come talk with us. That's what we're there to do. And then we're going to go out and drink beer afterwards and eat fish tacos, a little village, which is awesome place to hang out right there on the bay in St. Andrews. It's probably one of my favorite places in town. So come be a part of that, man. We're really excited to bring that event to you guys, and we hope you really like it. Book news that I've been kind of hinting at and referencing and all of that for some time now. So The Last Argonaut is done. It is off to the publisher. There has finally been another set of eyes on that project, and I'll ask him about that here in just a second. But topped out at just north of 96,000 words. And I'm really proud of it. I think there's always when you send off something, you know, to particularly to the universe creator, there's always the, okay, you know, what am I going to have to tweak? What am I going to have to do better? What did I miss? What fell through the cracks? You know, where did I drop the ball somewhere on a character or a subplot or, you know, sub arc or whatever. And when I get reviews like what Kevin gave me when he sent it back to me, that really made my day. So I'm super excited to bring that to you guys. We do not have a firm release date on that yet, but it will probably be sometime in March. So keep your ears on for that. But Kev, we won't get into any kind of real big gory details or anything about it, but just off the top, man, tell me what you thought of the story. We've been talking about this one for a long time, you and I, whether it's on this show or hanging out at LibertyCon and such. And I've been hinting, and you finally got eyes on it. So tell me what you thought.
I think it's outstanding. It's science fiction and all the things you'd want in science fiction as far as, you in the future, you know, aliens and that kind of thing. And, you know, there's action there too, as far as that kind of thing goes, those like military science fiction and that kind of thing. The sports was spot on. It really brought out war ball, and explained the sport in a way that's not a bunch of, information overload, what we used to call in recruiting dump trucking.
Yeah.
Where you just dump everything, and it's not that at all. And as you read, you learn, and then you learn, you know, so yeah, it was outstanding. And I, one of the books I really liked was, you know, Grisham wrote, Playing for Pizza, mm-hmm. which was a different kind of book for him as far as, you know, what he normally wrote, but it's that kind of level. It's that his writing level. Okay. Is what I'm telling nice. You.
Well, I appreciate that.
So I was like, yeah, this is really good. Really good. Well, Rob, I hate that you have to wait till March. Maybe you can be what is the second readers? Beta readers? Is that what it is?
Alpha readers.
Alpha reader. Yeah. Maybe you can, you know, elbow in since we're all sports guys. Cause yep. Oh my God.
I'd like that. I'm looking forward to reading it. You had me with sports and, you know, aliens.
Well, it's, there's, trust me. And Kevin can back me up on this. Like he said, you know, it is a science fiction novel. All right. So I know there are a lot of folks who like to listen to this show or watch this show, and, you know, they love hearing us talk about all of this stuff, talking about college football or sports. They ride with us on that because they like the show, but that's not their favorite part of the show because they're not diehard sports fans. I really tried not to kill those people in this book. You know, like, I don't want to lose them. I had really tried to keep it front and center that I'm writing to a science fiction audience about a sports story. So juggling that was really the big task. Having said that, for people who are diehard sports fans, there's tons of stuff that you're going to recognize in this book. Mm-hmm. Yes, tons of stuff. Yes. Everything from Bob Uecker jokes to cooking with groceries with Bill Parcells to,
yes,
you know, like, it's all pretty well there. And it was fun to play with that as well. But yes, I almost hate that it's going to be to March before it's out, but it is my sincere hope, guys, that it's been worth the wait. And I, you know, thank you big time to my readers and my fans for being patient with me on this. You know, we've had a lot of life stuff going on in the Malone house the last year that has occupied a good bit of my time. And so this was kind of that project that I really just kind of had to chip away at a little bit at the time, because there were a lot of instances I only had 45 minutes in a day to work on this. You know, lot of times Saturdays were really kind of my only time to be able to just shut the door and be left alone and not have family stuff or work stuff or whatever to deal with. So, it took me a little while to get this one done, but like I said, it's my hope you guys think it's worth the wait.
Yeah. And you know, you got to understand CKP with Chris and everything else, he's got them stacked up.
Yeah.
So to get them out earlier, I mean, it's just, you know.
Yep.
And I want to comment on the blending there of sports and science fiction. It's not easy. And I know this because of a salvage title story I did for Kevin. Mm-hmm. The story I did, which was all music references and stuff like that. The thing about it that was challenging was I made all those music references, but to make that story work, it had to be a good science fiction story first. And all right. The music references had to be, part of what made the story good, but not necessarily, like, that wasn't the focus. That was intended to be a side thread. If the action wasn't good, if there wasn't space battles, if there wasn't running around shooting at each other, then the story is just me making puns, and nobody wants that.
Right. I will tell you, it was really cool that some of the groundwork had been laid in other salvage books for me to play with some of those things, i.e. the right. music references and characters who are into 20th century music and,
yeah.
Yeah, that because other people had done that already, that gave me space to go, well, let me just go ahead and tie right into that because readers are already familiar with this. And that was a blast.
And I got that from Christopher Woods and William Joseph Roberts, who did Smuggler's Run.
Yeah.
And they did their whole, well, we did as many pop culture references as we could put in. And I'm like, challenge accepted, which is part of how that story went with me. But Smuggler's Run doesn't work if it's not like a Han Solo or Firefly kind of a romping adventure. And, and it has all the other stuff, but that's an addition to being a good, fun story.
Oh, yeah, and they were able to use the music references there because I had Clip do it in the very first book. You know, two of my main characters, and he is a huge fan of all the music.
Right.
So nice.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. So anyway, it's like I said, it's my hope you guys enjoy that one, and hope you find it to be a fun romp.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Yeah, you need to get that early if you can. You know, he's got to swear you to secrecy and all that stuff, sign your life away. But, yeah. You know. You gotta wait till March.
Well, thanks again to Sarah Burris for coming on the show tonight. Really appreciate that. Author friends, can't stress this enough, man. Reach out to your local libraries. These are folks that have a lot going on and they're in need of content the same way that you're in need of new readers. So help each other out. Reach out, find out if there's a book reading you can do or a book signing event, or if there's a local author event. You get to meet other people that conceivably you could collaborate with right there in your own backyard. And I don't know about you guys. I love being able to hang out with these guys on Zoom twice a month and do what we do. But the only thing better than that is when we all get to hang out in person, preferably around a sound or a lake or something like that, and talk about all this stuff face to face over Coca-Colas or beers or whatever the case may be. You can do that. And getting in touch with your local library, partnering with those folks, is a great bridge to meeting other writers in your area. And again, meet some more readers and sell some more books. So reach out to those folks and see how you can help them, see how they can help you. Thanks as always to Chris Kennedy Publishing for being the presenting sponsor of this. Also want to say thanks again to the people who present our Air It Out segment. That's the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. They've got a big fantasy giveaway going on this month. So make sure you roll over there to IASFA.org, sign up for their newsletter so you can stay on top of all that, get yourself some free books. And if you're an author, again, man, you want to be a part of that association because they will hook you up with some knowledge and some peers and colleagues. So the website again is IASFA.org. That is the International Association of Science Fiction and Fantasy Authors. If you want to support this podcast, easy way to do it, man. If you're on YouTube and you're watching us, like the show, subscribe to the channel. It helps to bump us up through the rankings. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, a lot of those places will let you leave a review and 5 stars. So do it to it. That helps to bump us up. It helps get us in front of people who may or may not be looking for us. So we greatly appreciate that. Coming up here in the next couple of episodes, we're going to have another mailbag episode. So if you want to submit a question to that, it's very simple. Find us on social media, hashtag podmail, hashtag dudes in hyperspace, or, you know, if you're old school like us, shoot us an email, dudesinhyperspace@gmail.com. So on behalf of Sarah Burris, on behalf of Rob Howell, on behalf of Kevin Steverson, I am Ian J. Malone, signing off for the Dudes in Hyperspace podcast. We'll see you next time. See ya.